Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 89. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We got a couple new movies tonight and a couple oddball picks from me. We'll start it off with, I think, it was the biggest movie last weekend, or at the very least, one of my most anticipated movies of the summer, which was Sausage Party.
It was the second biggest movie last weekend.
What was number one?
At the box office, Suicide Squad still won. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising because I heard it had a big drop.
It won by like $10 million too. So
crazy. I thought you were gonna tell me like Pete's Dragon kicked everyone's ass.
No, Pete's Dragon did all right, I guess. Did like $21 million, but anyway, Sausage Party.
Yeah. So, you know, I was looking forward to this.
Yeah.
It's a new animated comedy from Seth Rogen. So, you kind of know what to expect. It's kind of like a Pixar movie, but totally R-rated.
Okay.
He came up with the idea, I think, like over 10 years ago, and they've been trying to get it made. But I saw him on one of these late night shows where he was talking about the idea for it. He's like, you know, these Pixar movies are great at showing like the secret lives of cars or the secret lives of ants or toys or this and that. And he said, it's like, well, what if he did one about food? He's like, and immediately that goes to a pretty dark place because they get eaten by humans. So that's kind of how he came up with the idea for it. And this is like a super raunchy, super R-rated comedy that's, you know, kind of like feels like it would be a Pixar kids movie, but it's totally, totally R-rated. So all that sounded pretty cool. I was super hyped up for it, went and saw it. And, basically it's – how do I even describe this besides what I already said? Like the story, it's all this food in a supermarket, and they're all kind of waiting to be bought because they believe that humans are gods, and when they get bought by the humans, they get taken into the great beyond, which is outside of the supermarket. You know, they kind of think of it like this great thing. They've like built up this mythology around it. What they don't realize is they're going to get taken to the person's house and then eat.
Right.
So early on, Seth Rogen's character is a sausage inside of a pack with other sausages. One of the sausages gets out and gets like accidentally taken to the great beyond. And Seth Rogen goes about trying to figure out where he actually went and what actually lies in the great beyond. And it kind of like spurns this like adventure that spans across the supermarket. Most of it is inside the supermarket. The ads for the movie would have you think that it's not.
Yeah, it takes place at the house.
Yeah, no. Like, there's parts where it switches to his buddy who has been taken home by this person. So anyways, the whole, like, premise of it is, you know, it's pretty obvious, I think, analogy to religion and what humans have come up with stories about what happens after you die. That's kind of... I think it's super obvious.
Sure.
And kind of surprising. I didn't expect it like to be about anything. I just thought it would be super like
dick joke,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. So it has a little bit more going on in terms of what it's about, I guess, than you might expect. I found that to be a welcome thing. I think anytime a movie stands up to religion, I think is a good thing, but that's me personally. As for like how, like, is it entertaining? Is it well done? I'd say it's pretty funny and at points very funny. I do think that I hyped it up a little bit too much in my head.
Okay.
Going in. That's my fault. But I would say if I'm being honest though, that there are stretches of it that I did not laugh. I expected to be laughing for the whole 90 minutes. You know, right. I expected it just to be balls to the wall, like hilarity. And for the most part, I was just like amused. But near the end, I'd say the last 20 minutes, and specifically in one scene, very funny. The whole theater was dying laughing. Like I had tears coming out of my eyes. I was laughing so hard. So despite the fact that it didn't have me like laughing the whole time, boy oh boy, is there like there are moments, and especially one moment near the end, which I'm not gonna spoil, but like everybody was fucking like people were laughing so hard and long during this part that like you couldn't even hear what the hell was being said on the screen.
That's cool.
So
Your
yeah.
kind of your opinion of it kind of aligns with another critic that I follow. He kind of had the same kind of thought. Maybe it was he might have built it up a little bit too much in his head too. And
Yeah.
like you said, it's funny, but there are definitely parts that drag a little bit. And maybe it's his appreciation of Rogan. He kind of pinned it on that. Like he's a big Seth Rogen fan, so he was like, "This is gonna be freaking amazing." And then he went in and was like, "It was all right," with some
Yeah, and
really
I'm kind
funny
of in that
stuff.
boat too.
Yeah.
Like I'm a pretty big, Rogan fan. I generally like all of his movies. I like this one as well. But yeah, I think I fell into the same kind of trap where I was like, oh, this is gonna be amazing. And it's perfectly fine. Like I definitely recommend going to see it. I'd say that one of the better summer movies because it's fucking original,
Yeah. It's not
But yeah, I
sequel number
just
seven or three or
Yeah. But I went into it expecting it to be a total home run, and it's good. Like it's very solid. Just, like I said, like, and if I'm being honest, like there are other Seth Rogen movies I would rather watch The Night Before again, just because that movie, despite its faults, I like really loved it. This, I thought it was a good time, so.
there you go. Well, sometimes the danger of building things up, so you should just take the approach that I do and no anticipation for anything whatsoever. Can't be disappointed.
I can't help it with certain things. I don't know. It's just
Yeah.
if a trailer really sells me on something, I get hyped or, but I'm gonna go with I'm like in the middle between a three and a four on it. I'm gonna go with a four just because I appreciate something different. And I do think it is a good time. Like I don't think a lot of people are gonna walk out of the theater being like, oh man, that sucked. So it's recommended. So,
All right.
as you went and saw the other like recent movie, it's been out a couple weeks now. I'm sure
Yeah,
like a lot of people have seen it.
I went and saw Suicide Squad. Yeah, a lot of people have seen it. It is it's made a boatload of money in the first couple weeks it's been out. Something to the tune of $240 million going into this weekend. So that's a lot of money.
That domestic or is that
That
worldwide?
that's domestic. Worldwide, it's made almost
Okay.
500 million. So,
Wow.
which we'll get into that in a minute. But Suicide Squad is the next film in the DC cinematic universe, or the extended universe. I don't know what the hell they're calling it. It's something stupid though. It's the second one this year, following up after Batman vs Superman, which you did not like. I came out enjoying. And this movie has, wow, it got some very tearing reviews against it. In fact, currently it's holding a 26% critics rating on Suicide Squad on Rotten Tomatoes. I kind of fall in line with the audience score, though, where 69% of the people that saw it liked it. So, it's there are things about that movie. So let me set the stage here. So it takes place after the events of Batman vs Superman. Superman is dead. Spoilers for Batman vs Superman. He dies in that movie. And Amanda Waller, she's a I believe she's like a Justice Department employee. She's come up with a plan to kind of put together a group of bad people to do good things for the government. And she pitches this after Superman being dead. She's like, hey, like, what if the next Superman isn't a good guy? What if he's a shithead and, you know, he comes in and he's gonna screw things up? We need something to counteract this. So she's like proposed putting these like villainous people like that are generally the who's who of Batman villains. Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Killer Croc, those type of guys, and she wants to put them all together and send them out to do missions for the government. The setup is stupid. It's a stupid idea. It's just a dumb idea.
I don't like the reasoning for me, and I've heard other people criticize this, and like even when like you explain it to me, I'm like, it doesn't, I don't get it. Like,
It makes zero sense.
and like how, like what the hell is Harley Quinn gonna do against any sort of real like,
Right. Well, that's the other thing.
let's
It's
say
like
Superman? She can't do shit.
Amanda Waller is putting this team together to combat like a metahuman, a superhero or a supervillain. Harley Quinn's just a crazy ex-psychiatrist. Like Deadshot, who was played by Will Smith, is just a dude that has really good aim. Killer
These
Croc
aren't
is,
like, these aren't.
they're not superheroes, they're not super
No, that's.
villains, they're just
Yeah,
villains.
exactly.
There's a guy named Diablo. He can like shoot fire out of his hands or turn into like a fire monster at one point. And there is the Enchantress who can, there's like magic involved. There's always kind of like both DC and Marvel have magic sides to them. Actually, we're gonna get the first bit of magic in the Marvel universe this year with Doctor Strange. But anyway, none of these people are really like they don't really have superpowers, and
Weird.
so like the concept of putting them together to fight super villains doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Knock that out of it. You kind of got to be like, all right, this is a stupid concept. What do we got going here? And what you have going for you is that Will Smith is Deadshot and Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn are a fucking blast to watch on screen. Like, she is one, she's beautiful. But she like nails the character. I don't know if you ever watched like Batman the Animated Series or anything like that. Like, yeah, so she hits kind of like that. She does like a mix between that Harley Quinn and the more comic-y Harley Quinn that they have going now, where she's a little bit more independent of the Joker. The Joker does make a couple appearances here. People are all over the place on him. He's only in the movie for about 10 minutes. He only has like three or four scenes. Like, he's hardly in it. I like what Jared Leto does as the Joker. He's kind of a mix of Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson's Jokers. So he's kind of like this gangster type, but also like he plays up the kind of clown aspect a whole lot more than like Heath Ledger did. Heath Ledger was like, I'm crazy. And like Jack Nicholson was more like, I'm the gangster. Like, he plays up the mix of both of them, and I think it works. I like him in the role. I am interested to see more of what he does, although he's been very vocal about, I don't know if we will see more of him, so.
Yeah, he sounds like, it sounds like he's pissed because I guess a lot
Yeah,
of
he
what he did
evidently
got cut.
filmed, they cut like an hour's worth of scenes that he did out of the movie. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I haven't seen those scenes, but this is already a 2-hour movie. And I think one of the big problems with Batman vs Superman is that it's nearly 3 fucking hours long. These superhero movies need to condense their stuff. They do that here. Look, it's dumb as fuck. Like, the villain in it is the Enchantress, and her brother. The Enchantress, who's supposed to be on this team, she betrays them early on, and she gets her brother, who is some sort of, I guess they're both like a ancient South American kind of gods and goddesses, and they are setting up a giant trash cyclone. I don't, it makes no sense.
Of
Who the fuck knows?
course.
It's really generic, like, oh, we got to go fight the big bad guy at the end. But it's fun just watching, you know, Will Smith, Margot Robbie. Trying to think of, there's a missing his name here on the full cast list, but they it's Will Smith is Deadshot, Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn, the guy who plays Killer Croc, the guy who plays Jai Courtney, who plays Boomerang, Jay Hernandez, who plays Diablo, and then Joel Kinnaman, he was on The Killing, and he was the guy who played RoboCop in the latest RoboCop, like the RoboCop remake.
The one that never happened.
It's not that bad. It's not
I
good,
haven't
but
seen it. I kind of refuse to see it, but all right.
yeah. Anyway, he plays Rick Flag, the guy who kind of leads this team. And he's good. Like, they all have like a good camaraderie to it. It's fun watching them interact. Kind of like it's fun watching the Avengers interact. Look, if you go in expecting something expansive, like, you're not going to get it. It's a dumb, stupid comic book movie with a terrible premise, a dumb villain, but it's fun. Like, I most of the movie.
I'm sorry, what did you say at the end there?
I smiled for most of the movie. Like, it was
Oh,
just
okay.
fun watching them interact.
Here's what I'll say is I know it got a beating from critics, but most people that I know have seen it, like Aaron, people at work and stuff. Most of them kind of sound like you about it. Like they're like, I guess, like, I'm trying to remember what Matt said specifically. He said it was not good, but it wasn't terrible, is what he said.
Yeah, it's not a good, like, there are definitely there are issues with the story because it's totally dumb. Peter, who was on our game podcast with us, he kind of said that he thought the pacing was weird. I think it's a super fast pace through most of the thing. Like, it feels like a music video, like super quick cuts.
I've heard that. I have a feeling that has to do with you've heard the whole thing about the reaction to the trailer and how the studio kind of rearranged the movie because of that.
That's
Yeah.
entirely possible.
I'd be interested to see. I'd be interested to see because from what I hear is the trailer it was a good trailer, so everyone liked that. The movie was not like that, I guess, at all. So they hired the people that made the trailer to re-edit Ayer's film, and that's the version you got in the theater. So I'd be really interested to see
David Ayer's
David
original
Ayer's
version.
version
Yeah, because like when you
because
look
it's
at
supposed to be darker and.
when you look at what he's done, like, he did Training Day, super gritty crime movie. He did End of Watch, super
Yeah.
gritty cop movie. He did Fury, super gritty like World War II tank drama. And then he did Suicide
Yeah.
Squad, which feels like a fucking music video. Like, this guy doesn't do that. Like, he does super gritty. That's his shtick.
Yeah.
And this definitely, like, it feels like it was lightened up, and there probably was a lot of producer interference and like upper people, like, oh, we gotta make this. Like, Batman vs Superman got crucified for being too dour. Like, we can't have this movie be dour. So they probably went
And
back
that's,
and like cut some things.
I think that's misguided thinking.
Yes, entirely.
You've been saying all along that you like the tone that they're going for in these movies, and I can't disagree with you because I really enjoyed Man of Steel. I don't care what anyone says, I still like that movie.
I mean, I think there's definitely some misguided thoughts going on with them, and possibly, like, you know, they're allowing a little bit too much with Zack Snyder to kind of like expand and do whatever the hell he wanted. And then they're coming in and trying to fix it behind, and it's not working. Because from what everyone has said that has seen the extended cut, the director's cut of Batman vs Superman, they said it works better as a movie. But you can't have a 3-hour movie. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I guess what I'm getting at, though, is the problem isn't that these movies are dark. It's that they're not – I mean, I can't speak to the Suicide Squad. It's that they're not good. You look at Nolan's Batman films, they're incredibly dark. You know what I mean? So I don't know where they lost the way, but they've lost the way. And I think it starts with Snyder, because – when you had Nolan in charge, like, granted, I did not like his third Batman movie a ton, but it was better than Batman vs. Superman, I think. So, I don't know.
Well,
I don't
also
know
think
what they're doing.
Batman vs. Superman suffers from having to try and introduce everything at once.
But like, it didn't have to do that. And it didn't need Doomsday.
No,
it didn't need all that shit, dude.
I agree with you, but I think he's getting directions from Warner Brothers going, we need to fucking catch up to Disney right now. We need to catch up to what Marvel's doing. But they have a 10-year head start. Like,
yeah, I don't get why – I don't understand why you have to catch up. I really don't.
Do your own thing.
How about,
build it out.
Do what they're doing. Do what they did. They took the time and made it good. And it doesn't have to be the same tone. Like, I don't want it to be like Marvel, where everything's light and happy. And
right,
fluffy.
Like that. That's been my argument, and like I've seen a lot of these. I've seen a lot of commentary since Suicide Squad came out from not really movie critics, but they're making a lot of like assumptions that, like, oh, they should just do what Marvel does. No, like, we already have what Marvel does. If DC does exactly what Marvel does, we're just going to have 12 films a year that are all fucking happy bullshit.
And I would argue we already have too much of what Marvel does already, dude. I'm so sick of it all. But all right. So anyways, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen Suicide Squad. Where do you fall on it? Like,
I fall at a 3. It is. I enjoyed it. It's a fun time. It is heavily flawed. There are definite issues. As I said, the premise is stupid. The story is stupid. The villain is bad. But there are some really engaging performances, and I want to see what they do with them going forward.
Hopefully something better. I agree with you. Like, there's no way you can not like Will Smith in a movie, I think. Like,
the guy has so
talented.
Much charisma.
And Margot Robbie, yes. So,
oh, she was
I don't know.
Fantastic as Harley Quinn.
I mean, I really wanted to, this was like high on my anticipated movies of the summer. I'm skipping out seeing it in the theater for the simple fact that I'm not going to go see another movie that everyone has essentially told me is not good. But, I mean, Batman vs. Superman was enough. I'll see it on DVD.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you know, maybe I will like it. I don't know, but
like, I think if you go in with checked expectations. And just like try to have a good time with it, you probably will.
I think critics, it's part of why they're coming down on it is, I think the treatment of Harley Quinn in it. But I don't know how I'll feel about that or not. I don't know if I'll care.
See, I don't. I mean, I don't.
They also say it's a mess all around, but
I'm not really sure what they want out of Harley Quinn, because, like, if anybody knows anything about Harley Quinn, like, watch the Batman animated series, has read, because that's where she was created, was the animated series, or has watched, like, anything that she's ever been involved in, they don't treat her any differently here than they have there. Like, she is a very tragic figure. Like, because she blindly loves the Joker, and, you know, he's basically her abusive boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they don't stray from that here. Like, they're pretty true to what Harley Quinn is.
Yeah, but I think for a lot of critics, this might be their first exposure to her character, and it doesn't mean that they have to like that. You know,
no, they don't have to like it, but I do think, like, if they're coming at it from, like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, I mean, they're staying true to the character. Like, I don't really know what they want, because if they stray too far from the characters, then you have the people that actually want to see these movies pissed off and they're not going to
Yeah.
go. So I you're it's in a weird spot. So anyway, it's
Yeah.
I liked it. It's probably not worth seeing in theaters though, like, unless you're like a super huge DC
Yeah.
fan.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait. I will see it, and I'll make up my own mind on it. But I'm gonna be going in with lowered expectations. Anyways, I guess moving along, we have a few other things to cover here. So,
Yeah.
documentary that was recently put onto Netflix. It's called The Overnighters. I never heard of it, I don't think. I just saw that it had a 5-star rating on there. Looked it up on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was at like 98% or something like that. I was like, all right. I like documentaries, so you give me one that's highly rated like that, I'll give it a shot. It's about this town in North Dakota where there's like an oil boom and there's a whole bunch of jobs supposedly that pay really well. Small town. So a bunch of people from all over the country, people who are at the end of their rope, essentially, they need work, kind of converge on this town looking for work. And while there's work to be had, the town is overwhelmed by the amount of people that show up. And there's a pastor who begins letting people sleep in his church and in the parking lot of the church, and he's trying to help these people get jobs. And a lot of them, they have drug and alcohol problems and psychological problems, on a spiritual level as well. And super nice guy, right? Like, totally like help, like welcoming these people, into his town and trying to help them get on their feet. It goes places you might expect. The people in the town are probably not happy about all these people showing up.
Okay.
Weird. There's this conflict, right? Because you have this pastor who is welcoming these people in and trying to help them and trying to do the right Christian thing. And then you have his congregation who call themselves Christians who are not so welcoming to outsiders, okay? Which I think is an interesting conflict, and it exposes a lot of honesty, in my opinion. But and it also works as kind of a microcosm for the larger picture of our country, where there's a lot of people that are people coming into our country from the outside and taking jobs and stuff. It's kind of the same thing on a super small scale, right? So it works on all these levels. It goes those places that you might expect. It doesn't quite lean into it as much as I might expect. And the movie kind of shifts what it's about halfway through, a little bit, maybe closer to the end even. But it starts to really focus more on the pastor. And I think it kind of came as a surprise to me. And I think it probably came as a surprise to the filmmakers, like the documentarians, who are. They think they're making one thing, and then they suddenly realize, no, our true subject is this pastor. Like, what makes him tick? What makes, he's an unbelievably nice guy to the point where there's one guy who comes into town looking for work who is a registered sex offender. Pastor knows that if he lets him sleep in his church, the media will find out about it. Really blow up, and then people will really be upset about, who the people that he's letting into his church. So he lets the guy sleep in his house with his family. They never say what the guy, what his crime was. It could have been he was 18 and he had sex with a 17-year-old. You don't know, right? Like they never say. You just know that it was a long time ago. So it becomes more of like, how is this guy such a good guy? And like, how do you try to do the right thing when the community you live in doesn't want you to do that, even though you're supposedly like a leader of this community and you're the one telling your congregation like to do? It has a hell of a revelation about this pastor near the end. I don't want to spoil it, but I don't want to like call it a twist really, but it does make you look back at everything earlier in the movie and go, huh, that's why maybe this guy wants to try so hard to be good. I don't want to say more than that, but I think it's worth checking out. It's on Netflix. If you like documentaries and you like how that sounds, I think it's like I found it to be a really good movie. I'm gonna give it 4 stars. I would say, if you like documentaries, worth checking out for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and hell of an ending. What else did
I'll check it out.
we got here? Yeah, I mean, you got Netflix, right?
Yeah, definitely. When I finally get a chance to sit down and actually watch something. Let's see here. Sausage Party, Suicide Squad, The Overnighters, Shotgun Stories.
I did watch Shotgun Stories earlier tonight.
What is that?
It's Jeff Nichols' first movie. That's the writer director of Take Shelter, Mud,
Okay.
Midnight Special,
Right.
and
Okay.
it first movie from 2007, and it also stars Michael Shannon. So Michael Shannon's in every single movie this guy has done. And I guess he has another movie coming out this year, which is crazy because Midnight Special came out this year. He has another movie coming out this year called Loving, also starring Michael Shannon. So, but anyways, this is his first movie. It's 2007, super low budget, you could tell. Total indie movie. And it's about these three brothers. They find out their father dies, and it's a father that who like abandoned them when they were younger, and he was a total asshole. And he actually went and formed a new family with this other lady, and he had kids with her, and he fixed up his life, and he actually like raised those kids well. So there's like this bitterness that his original family has towards him because he was such an asshole, and then he left them and then straightened out his life, right?
Right.
So the dad dies. And these three brothers who were abandoned by him, they show up at the funeral and they just like basically spit on his grave, like talk shit about him, like to the other family. And it starts like this feud between the others and another set of brothers that he had with the other lady. That's kind of what it's about. It is, like I said, it's super low budget. It is slow and it is clunky and I don't know. Like, you could see promise in Nichols as a writer and a director, but I personally did not enjoy it. It just the tension never really builds up like you expect. The performances and everything—it's like naturalistic in a way that like it's like these rural people who they just talk like how regular people would. Like they don't ever actually say things that are interesting or dramatic or anything. They just like yeah. I'm gonna watch this movie. It's just like very like nothing interest. Nothing that they say is interesting. As the stakes are raised in this feud between these, them and this other family, you don't ever really feel it. They don't ever really seem like emotional. Some of the performances are stilted. Michael Shannon's very good in it, but the people like his two other brothers, I don't think are great in it. It makes me think of like. Go back and look at Clerks and how fucking clunky that was. But except without witty dialogue, and instead of being a comedy, it's like this drama. But just like that, where it's just like the camera just sits there, he doesn't do much
Right,
with
right. It's just
it.
like I'm learning how to be a filmmaker type thing.
And boy, oh boy, like it has like really high, like I think it's like 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. Glowing reviews, like it just didn't do anything for me. Like I wanted to really like it. It's like things will happen. Like this is how you know one, it's super low budget, and two, that he didn't really know what he was doing as a filmmaker yet. It's like anytime violence happened, he cut away from it, and it would not happen on screen. It's just like we're building up to these big moments, and you cut away from them, and then it's the next day, and you're like. You could, show me what happens. Don't, killing somebody off screen, that's not a good, effective way of telling a story. So I don't think, anyways. So like, you could use it. It's like a trick you could use once or twice, but like that's every time there's sort of violence or action in this movie, you don't see it. It's interesting to watch. Like you could definitely see this guy might have some potential, and he did. Like I love Take Shelter. I love Be Nice Special. My girlfriend loves Mud. I've not seen that, but I hear good things. I really expected to like love this, but I did not. So
All right.
sorry to say. I'm gonna go with a two on it. Like it's too bad, but hey, what can you do?
Fair
He has
enough.
gone on to better things. So
Do we want to hit TV tonight, or do we want to save that for next week?
I guess we could talk more about it next week, but I'll just throw this out there. Everyone needs to be watching The Night Of. Are you watching that on HBO?
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. It looks fascinating, so.
It's fucking great. Like it is. We'll talk more about it next week. It's wrapping up soon. It's got two more episodes. Like it is. It's easily my TV show of the year right now. Like
Okay.
better than. I know for like most people, they'd say Game of Thrones. But I think this is what this is doing is it's more interesting and more grounded in our reality. So
All right. Yeah,
I'll
I
leave it at
definitely
that. We'll
it's
talk
something I
more.
have on. Yeah, we talk
Honestly,
more.
dude,
I need to catch up
honestly,
on Vice Principals anyway, so
have you been watching that?
I watched the first two episodes. So I think
I
there's been
like
a
that
few more
show.
since then.
It's just a great capper to a Sunday night. It's just this dumb, mean-spirited comedy.
Very mean
That
spirited.
shit's dumb.
Very,
But
very mean spirited.
I would say even this though, that like even the pilot of The Night Of is incredible and one of the best episodes. And I think that you will be hooked right off the pilot. Like it's great. So
All right.
definitely give that first episode a shot. I think it'll put its hooks in you.
Sounds good.
And then for this week, we're run out of time. I guess for next week, we'll talk to those shows a little bit. I will have seen The Lobster starring Colin Farrell. And I'll have seen War Dogs unless it gets like fucking Suicide Squad reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. But
It's
I'm
holding to
expecting to go see
60%
it.
right now, so
That.
it's holding to 60%, so just at fresh.
Are there like a decent amount of reviews? The last I checked, there was one review, so
84 reviews, 50 fresh, 34
okay, so
rotten.
then all right, so the reviews are generally out now. Huh?
Yeah,
Checking that out.
their top critics, they have 33 of their top critics have reviewed it so far, so. I'm interested in it. It
Okay.
looks quite fascinating, and there's not much else out this week. Next week, though,
Is next week
Don't Breathe is next
Don't
week.
Breathe?
Yeah,
That's for sure. I'm going. Oh well, yeah. So I'll be going to War Dogs though for the next episode, and I will have seen The Lobster,
all
and
right.
who knows what else. But are you planning to go see War Dogs?
I'm gonna try. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to, but I'm gonna try and get out and see it. Maybe Saturday morning.
We'll be back with next week with some stuff. Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.